Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second episode of the At the Crossroads Intersections and African Spirituality podcast. I am your host and the creator of this podcast, Ia Darasia, and I am so excited to be relaunching this podcast. So if you heard the first episode, you know that I recorded it last year, June of 2020, and while it was my intention to continue to producing more episodes, there were just some things happening and I needed to dedicate some more time to really developing this project. And so my goal was to relaunch in 2021. I wasn't even really sure of the date. I didn't even have a date in mind. I just knew like 2021, I want to refocus. And so I'm just really thankful that I've been able to do this now in the beginning of 2021, February 2021. So this is just really exciting for me, and I just have a whole lot of gratitude. So thank you for hanging in there with me. I am really hoping that this podcast will continue to be helpful. I did get some really fantastic feedback, so thank you all, just for your wonderful feedback from the first episode. And so my goal is to launch these episodes on the third Monday of every single month. And, you know, that is intentional. Third, really, really important in hoodoo and African spirituality. Monday belongs to Eshu Alegba, the opener of the way. And so, and also the owner of the crossroads. And so third Mondays are when every single episode is going to be dropped. I have some really exciting content planned for the next few months. And so I hope that it's really helpful and impactful and that you get something from it. So I'm really excited. Thank you all again for being here with me. Before we get into the heart of the episode, I just wanted to share some brief updates about some happenings that I have going on right now. So if you're familiar with my work, you may know that I make fixed candles. If you're not familiar with my work, or if you don't know what fixed candles are, basically fixed candles are candles that have been blessed and prepared with a particular intention in mind. So it's definitely rooted in African spiritual practice in terms of how we use the natural world and ingredients from the natural world, like herbs and oils and different things that are aligned to a particular energy in order to move and shift energy in a particular way. And so fixed candles are used for things like attracting money, for protection, for uncrossing or cleansing hex conditions, for blessing a home. I mean, there are really, really so many reasons why people use fixed candles. And so I do sell them on my website. I also have an Etsy shop. And so I make custom fixed candles. And starting yesterday, February 14th, I'm going to be offering monthly candle services. So candle services are basically fixed candles that I prepare and I light for you. It's actually a pretty popular service that I offer. A lot of people prefer to have practitioners light their candles for them. Sometimes they just may be in a space where they can't light it, or maybe they feel like they may not be as consistent with it as they need to be. And so I already do offer a candle lighting service, but what'll be different about this is that every month I will be offering a specific candle service at a discounted rate. So for the month of March, it will be a road opening candle service, which I thought was just really perfect in the month of the equinox. And so road opening candles really support opening paths of progress, removing obstacles, Many times people use road opening if they're starting new projects and they just want to make sure that they have smooth sailing. Sometimes it's when people have been experiencing certain blocks and they don't really know why they're experiencing these blocks. They may just want to burn a road opening candle to remove those blocks and those obstacles. And so I will be offering the road opening candle service starting in March, but actually candles can be ordered starting yesterday. And the goal is to basically every single week have a candle lighting service on Wednesday. When you order a candle, you would be able to share what your specific petition is. And then I would share a picture of the candle for you so you can actually see it. And then as the candle was burning and once the candle is done, I can give you updates on how it burned, because all of that really tells you what's going on as far as your petition. So the way the flame looks, the way the glass looks when the candle is finished, like all give indications of how your petition was received by spirit. And then I'm also going to offer the opportunity to have a tarot card pull at the end of your candle burning, so that if you want an additional message from spirit in regards to your petition, you can also have that. So I'm really, really excited. I'm really hoping that this is something that'll be helpful for folks. You can order the candles on my website. My website is www.kalunga healingarts.com. And I'll also be posting more information on social media. So if you follow me on any social media, you'll definitely see more information about that coming out. The second thing that I'm going to be offering starting next month is a seasonal offering called a Bless Up Box. And so essentially, this is going to be a box of curated items around a particular theme that can support self-care and or ritual. So from March to June, the first Bless Up Box will be themed around abundance. And I'm really excited because I feel like abundance is something that we all need and we all use and what can all use in our lives. And, you know, especially again, thinking about just the time of the equinox, I just think about that just being a time of just new beginnings in so many ways. And so I just wanted to offer that to folks. And so each Bless Up Box will have about 4 to 5 items. And again, they'll be curated around a particular theme. And so a typical Bless Up Box will have, you know, anything from candles to affirmation cards to crystals to smudge sticks to herbal blends that can be used for teas or for spiritual baths. I'll have oils in them sometimes, flower essences, all kinds of different goodies. And they're going to be pretty too. You know, we have to have the aesthetic piece of that as well. So I'm really, really excited. You can find the information about the Bless Up Boxes on my website. They are not available for order yet, but they will be available soon. So you can find more information there. And probably in the next 2 weeks or so, I'll be able to give more specific details about what this first Bless Up Box will look like. And so I'm just really excited, and I really hope that these things are helpful. I'm just always trying to think of ways that, you know, I can just be of service and can just support folks in their journey. So I'm always open to feedback. I'm always open to questions. If you have any questions or feedback, you can feel free to contact me at Oshun Shango, and that's spelled OshunShango. @gmail.com. And you can always hit me up on social media as well. So one of the topics that I wanted to regularly bring into the podcast is astrology. So if you follow me on social media, you probably already know that I'm into astrology. What I think that most people don't know is that I've been studying astrology since 2004. And so on the first episode, I talked a lot about how I left the church and, you know, that time in my life when I was really just trying to figure things out. And so it was around that time that I was studying astrology. And it was just one of those things that just kind of immediately clicked for me. Before I started studying astrology, I just really knew that I was a Cancer. I don't even think I knew that that meant that the sun was in Cancer when I was born. I just knew that I was a Cancer and that that meant that I was sensitive and sentimental and moody and a crybaby. And I didn't really think that all of those things applied. I definitely am sensitive. I definitely can be sentimental. I don't know if I'm moody, and I definitely don't think I was a crybaby. But at the same time, that was pretty much all that I knew. But when I started studying astrology more, I was like, wow, this just makes a lot of sense. And it just clicked for me. And I just really just quickly absorbed and understood what the different parts of the chart are and what they mean. And, I was able to interpret my chart relatively quickly. And then I started to interpret the charts of people I knew. And it was just really, really fascinating for me. So I've been studying astrology ever since. I do natal chart readings for people. If you're interested, you can always order one from my website. But I just wanted to spend some time kind of talking about the big things in astrology right now, the big things happening in the cosmos. If you want to really understand it and how it relates to you, you would really have to look at how these transits fall in your chart, where they fall in your chart, what planets they may be impacting. But we can still kind of talk about some of these bigger energies and how they're impacting us collectively. And transits basically refer to the movements of the planet. So when we say, for instance, that Saturn is transiting Aquarius, what we're basically saying is that Saturn is in Aquarius right now. So that is a great segue to talk about one of the things that I wanted to kind of dig into on this episode, and that is the planet of Saturn. So some of you may remember the end of 2020. There were all of these memes going around talking about the Great Conjunction, and that basically that meant that Black folks were going to get some superpowers. I thought the memes were funny. The Great Conjunction definitely was significant astrologically. If you did get any superpowers, please let me know. I would be interested. I didn't get mine yet, except for maybe, I think 2021, I have been more focused and organized. So maybe that's the superpower that I got. But yeah, so anyway, Saturn in December 2020 moved into the sign of Aquarius, and Saturn will remain in Aquarius until March of 2023. So most times when people talk about Saturn, it brings up a lot of negativity for folks. If you've ever heard people talk about their Saturn return, they're like, oh my God, I'm in my Saturn return. Things are so crazy. My life is falling apart. And if you're not familiar with the Saturn return, basically what that is referring to is it's referring to Saturn transiting the sign or entering the sign that it was in when you were born. So basically, Saturn returning back to the sign within your natal chart. So, for instance, for me, I was born when Saturn was in Libra. So, when Saturn was in Libra, I was in my Saturn return. And the Saturn return pretty much impacts people between like the ages of like 26 to like 29, 30, because Saturn's transit through all of the signs is about 26 to 28 years. It kind of depends on retrograde periods when it's like going backwards and things like that. But anyway, it's usually around like the ages of like 26, 29 that people experience their Saturn return. And so the reason why this is associated with a lot of like hardships and obstacles is because Saturn is the planet of lessons and structure and discipline. In many ways, Saturn is the gatekeeper of the zodiac. So Saturn is the furthest planet that we can see with our naked eye. And so in that way, it kind of represents boundary and structure. Once we realized that there were other planets on the other side of Saturn, Saturn kind of became the symbol of the gatekeeper, in the sense that we really can't experience the kind of larger evolutionary themes of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto until we master the lessons that Saturn brings into our lives. And so that's why a lot of times it's like, oh, Saturn, because Saturn is like, listen, these are the lessons you need to learn. This is where you need to be more disciplined. This is where you need to ground yourself. And so for those people who want like fast, you know, movement, and they want to see fast progress, Saturn has a tendency to slow things down, to make us regroup. Saturn is like, if you're familiar with the tarot, with the Rider-Waite-Coleman tarot, if you know the Tower card, you know, Saturn can kind of represent that, particularly at that Saturn return where it seems like everything is falling apart. But what people don't always understand is that Saturn represents opportunity as well. You know, Saturn represents opportunity for growth. Saturn basically says, hey, if you can master these lessons, the keys to the temple are open for you. Saturn actually, with being the ruler of Capricorn, represents initiation in the sense of being a disciple and, you know, going and down the path and mastering the path. And when you do that, then it's like all of those, you know, bigger cosmic evolutionary understandings will be open to you. So it's really important to understand Saturn, not just as this taskmaster and as this disciplinarian, but also as this force for opportunity, this force for growth, this force of self-development. And it's really when we start to understand Saturn in that way that I think that we can really benefit from the lessons and the energies of Saturn. And so, like I mentioned, Saturn is currently in Aquarius. And so this is a big deal for us collectively. Aquarius as a sign is a sign of creativity. It's a sign of freedom. It's a sign of interdependence. It's the sign of progress and pushing the envelope and questioning tradition and working towards equal access. It really is about, you know, removing bureaucratic systems that keep some people from having access to certain things. Aquarius is associated with revolution. It's associated with swift change. It's associated with technology in the sense of that innovative energy that can push humanity forward. And so Saturn, again, being the planet associated with lessons and opportunities in this sign of Aquarius, collectively, we are being asked to really think about the systems that have been created and how we can push beyond certain limits in order to create societies that are built on equity and equality and justice. So really, it's about learning those lessons, right? Learning those collective lessons and co-creating together to build societies that really feature the best of what Aquarius has to offer. So this is huge. This is huge. And I think this is why we see a lot of the movement that we see today. I mean, even as something, and I'm not trying to bring politics too much into this, that'll probably be on some other episodes. But, you know, even when you think about, you know, Bernie Sanders and the fact that he brought socialism, even though he's really talking about a particular brand of socialism, democratic socialism, which is not necessarily the socialism that, you know, other movements are trying to, you know, fight for. But the fact that, you know, he was able to bring, you know, socialism into a national conversation. I think that really does speak to, if you hear that noise in the background, that is my nephew. I think he's running down the steps. But it really does speak to that Saturn in Aquarius energy, right? That this is about pushing society forward in new ways, not having us be stagnant and just relying on old ways of doing things and old ways of living. So hopefully that provides some different ways of understanding Saturn. And again, what this means for you would really depend on how it falls in your chart, where it falls in your chart. You can look at what Aquarius rules, what house it rules, what planets are in Aquarius, and that can help give you some guidance and understanding what this means particularly for you. Another big energy is that Mercury is going direct this week. I am so happy. So on February 20th, Mercury is going direct in Aquarius, again, pulling in that Aquarius energy. And so I don't know about y'all, but I have had so many technical issues over the past few weeks. It has not even been funny. If you're not familiar with Mercury and Mercury retrograde, Mercury is the planet of communication. It's the planet of commerce. It's the planet of transportation. It's just basically governs like the movements of things, the circulation of things. And so when it goes retrograde, it often just causes a lot of confusion and a lot of chaos. And so I am just very relieved that Saturn is going back direct because, yeah, the tech issues were just really real this time for me. And then another big movement that we have coming up is that Venus, which is the planet of attraction and desire and magnetism and relating to others, is moving into Pisces on February 25th. And so Pisces is really the sign of spiritual experience. If you can imagine a monk on top of a mountain meditating and having all these ecstatic experiences, that's kind of what Pisces is like. It's like the sign of the spiritual mystic. And so with Venus in Pisces, this is really about emphasizing harmony, between like our spiritual sides and our mundane sides. Because Pisces is about sort of like transcending mundane reality to have these spiritual experiences. And with Venus being a very harmonizing energy, it really is about helping us to find balance between the spiritual and between the mundane. And I feel like in the next few weeks, we are all going to be noticing a lot more synchronicity because Venus, as this magnetic energy, is literally going to be pulling in these different spiritual experiences to help us have a greater awareness of ourselves, a greater awareness of spirit. So this is really a beautiful time. Venus is going to be in Pisces for about 3 weeks. And so this is definitely a time if you don't really track your dreams and really pay attention to your dreams, this is a time to really do so. If you have a meditation practice, this is a time to think about deepening it. If you don't have one, this is a time to think about starting one and, really just incorporate some spiritual rituals into your life to just make the most of this Venus and Pisces energy because it can really attract a lot of spiritual insight during this time. And then the other big thing is we have Mars, which is the planet of desire and assertiveness and ambition and drive, moving into Gemini on March 3rd. And it'll stay there until April 23rd. So we kind of have like a month and a half, almost 2 months of this Mars and Gemini energy. And so Mars transits always show us where we may experience increased energy and physical vitality, where we may be more assertive and possibly more impulsive and defensive. And Mars transits also give our energy some more focus and direction. Gemini is a sign that's associated with duality and with the mind, and really emphasizes collecting data and facts and information and sharing them with others. So Geminis are often associated or described as being busybodies or being social butterflies, but it's because Gemini has a strong impulse to understand and then share that understanding with other people. And at its most optimal manifestation, Gemini really seeks to find balance and duality. So you think about Gemini, the twins. That's really representing two different aspects of reality. When you talk about duality, we're talking about things like up and down, left and right, hot and cold. And we really don't understand the one without the other. And so Gemini, at his most optimal, is really trying to seek a balance and really trying to balance those dual states and balance those dual understandings, synthesizing them to have greater awareness. So with Mars and Gemini, we may be more compelled to seek greater balance during this time, more compelled to investigate and understand the world around us. Our minds may be in overdrive because Gemini is a mental energy, so our minds may be in overdrive. We may be really compelled to communicate. If you're a writer, this will be a time where you'll probably be writing a whole lot. And so, again, this is a great time to kind of take advantage of this energy, but definitely with Mars and Gemini, we want to make sure we stay grounded. We want to make sure that our minds aren't moving so quickly that we're sort of losing ourselves within the mental processes. This is a good time to write things down. This is a good time if you have been wanting to write, to start writing. And if you are a teacher of any kind, if you've been desiring to maybe do more speaking engagements and things like that, like this Mars and Gemini energy will definitely propel those types of projects and goals forward. So, last but certainly not least, I did want to answer some of the questions that you all have posed in regards to African traditional religion. So, I do have four questions that have come to me from social media and from emails. I will try to address all four, but if I don't get to all four, if I feel like it's running a little long, then I may just push one to the next episode. So, the first question, I honestly, no exaggeration, get probably about 2 to 3 times every single week. And this is the question of how does one go about finding out which Orisha has their head? So, the short answer is through Ifa or Orisha divination. The longer answer is that this is ideally done after you have already decided that you want to be a part of the tradition. You already are part of an Ile. You already have a godparent or a teacher. And the reason for this is because there really is nothing beneficial in just sort of knowing that information. I think that for many people, they kind of think about, the Orishas, and they think about the energies of the Orishas, and then they think like, well, oh, if I know that a particular Orisha has my head, then I'll kind of know what like energy that I have within myself. But it doesn't necessarily work like that, to be honest. Sometimes the Orisha of your head is not necessarily who you are, but sometimes is what you need. And so if you don't have the proper guidance and understanding what that all means, if you don't have an Ile, if you don't have a godparent, and you're just like, oh, I know that I'm a child of Obatala, so that means that I'm, I guess people want to think of Obatala as peaceful and kind, and not saying he's not, but Obatala energy is in as the energy of all the of the Orishas have multiple manifestations. It's not just one thing or the other. So again, it's sort of like, why do you want to know that information? And I think the reason why is because people think it will give them some insight into themselves. And it's not to say that that won't give you insight into yourself, but it's really How the Orisha manifests for you in Lukumi is called the Road of the Orisha. The Odus that you get, you know, which are the oracles that come through divination, they honestly have a lot more to tell you about how that Orisha is going to show up for you than simply just knowing what Orisha is on your head. If you are a part of an Ile, then your godparent will help you to determine that through divination. There are different divinations that are used. Some people use the Erindilogun, which is the cowrie shells. And typically it's the cowrie shells of your godparent that would be used. And that's another reason why you need to have a godparent. If you are a part of a lineage that utilizes Ifa, typically there would be at least three Babalawos who will be determining what Orisha is on your head. This should be done in the presence of your Orisha godparent, because they're the ones that are going to be responsible, you know, to guiding you into working with that Orisha, not necessarily the Babalawo. Yeah, that's how it's done. Tarot cards is a no. Intuitive readings are also a no. There are some people, like there's a botanica or spiritual store here in Philly, and sometimes Babalawos will use the back of the store to do readings. And so I had taken some of my godchildren there, you know, over the years to get readings from Babalawos that I knew. And one of the women that worked there, she would be spot on, 100% would be able to say, you know, that person is a Shango, that person's head belongs to Yemaya, that person's head belongs to Abatala. And sure enough, like she would be in the front of the store saying that. Sure enough, folks would go in the back, come out, and, you know, be like, yeah, you know, the Babalawo said I was a Shango, whatever. And so, you know, obviously she had that gift of being able to do that, but that would not still be an acceptable way to obtain that information. You would still have to get that confirmed through divination. In my particular Ile now, because we do work with Ifa, we actually use the Ishe Fa or the Hand of Ifa ceremony to determine what Orisha's people have to initiate to. But there's no right or wrong, except for if you're using tarot or if you're using, I shouldn't say there's no right or wrong, because there is. What I mean is that there's no right or wrong in terms of using like Ifa or Orisha divination nations to determine it and getting guidance from your godparent. Whether you're going to use Erindilogun, whether you're going to use Ifa, there's no right or wrong in that. There is a right or wrong if you're trying to use tarot cards, if you're trying to go to a Misa and figure it out, you know, or if you're just going to go buy the colors that you like and the food you like to eat or whatever it is that people like to, you know, use to decide what Orisha has their head. So that would be the right or the wrong. So hopefully that was helpful. Another question that I got, and I do get this this question kind of often, is how do you know what Orisha to go to for a particular problem or situation? And so again, divination determines that. And the reason why divination determines that is because, again, I think sometimes people have it in their mind like, well, if I want love, I'm going to go to Oshun. Or if I want money, I guess they might go to Oshun for money too. I guess, you know, if I want, you know, peace and calm, maybe I'll go to Obatala. If I want, you know, a swift change, maybe I'll go to Oya. But the thing is that different Orishas stand up for different people at different times in their lives. And so you may, you know, be struggling with finances and you go get a reading, and the Orisha that shows up for you in that reading might be Shango. You know, it might be Obatala. It might be Yemoja. You know, so you might be thinking, well, I need to go to Oshun. And Oshun is not necessarily the Orisha that's checking for you at that point. You know, and so this is why it's really important to use divination to really help you make that determination. And again, using Ifa and Orisha systems of divination, not tarot cards or anything else, because those things can give you insight, but they don't necessarily give you insight about the Orishas. The Orishas have their ways of communicating. And so we need to respect those ways that they communicate and not try to insist that they're communicating through other means. One example that I can give in terms of how The Orishas may show up in ways that you don't expect. When it actually comes to like relationships, since I've been in the tradition, it really hasn't been Oshun so much that really shows up in that area. It's actually Shango, you know. So this is another reason why it's important to really, go to divination and like, allow the Orishas to guide you and tell you the best way to go about it. Because again, I could be like, oh, I'm going to Oshun because this is about love, and Oshun might not be checking for me in that particular area of my life. So divination, divination, divination. Another question that I got was, how do I connect with my Egbe? So that's a really, really good question. Egbe is a concept that is somewhat new in the diaspora. In some ways it's new. I think in some ways it's not new. But let's first just talk about what Egbe is. So for the Yoruba, in the Yoruba culture, the word Egbe just means group, or it could also mean society, but it just basically means a group of people. So an example of an Egbe, if you are in school, your cohort could be considered an Egbe in just the terms of in terms of just the wording, what the word means. Many times in tradition, we use Egbe to refer to a group of priests. So if you have a group of priests, for instance, we have the Egbe Omo Obatala. So that's a group of Obatala priests. And every single year they put on a conference in October, right? So that particular Egbe, that particular group, they come together and they do programs, right? A group of Shango priests coming together, to do particular work, they could form a Shango Egbe. So that's what Egbe means in a general sense. Most of the time, when people are referring to Egbe in a spiritual sense, what they're referring to is Egbe Orun. And Orun is a Yoruba word that refers to the spiritual realm. Sometimes it's translated as heaven, but it's not heaven in the Christian sense of the word, right? It's not like heaven, the good place, versus hell, the bad place. It's just the spiritual world in general. And so Egbe Orun refers to our spiritual community, the community that we had in the spirit world before we incarnated into this physical world. So from the Yoruba perspective, Orun, the spiritual realm, is home, and Aye, the physical realm, is the marketplace. And so similar to when you go to the market, you usually go with a purpose, right? Go to the market, you're picking up, some vegetables, you're picking up some milk, you're picking up, some meat, whatever it is you're going to get, and then you go back home. You have a particular purpose in mind. And so when we left our community in Orun, in the spiritual realm, we made certain agreements. We made certain pacts with them. We said, when we go to Aye, we're going to do these particular things. And sometimes, we get here, we get distracted, we forget what we agreed to. And when that happens, our Egbe can intervene. And sometimes they intervene by, creating obstacles or creating blockages, and it's all meant to get us back on the right path. And so that's what Egbe is for us. Now, there are some members of our Egbe, of our spiritual group, that have incarnated with us at the same time so that we could be together. Sometimes there's an agreement to do particular type of work together. So some members of your Egbe can actually be here in the physical realm. Many times our very close friends, sometimes our family members can be members of our Egbe. One concept that is very similar to Egbe is the concept of a soul group that we sometimes hear in some of the New Age traditions. They refer to a soul group or a group of souls that are linked. That's somewhat similar to Egbe. In the diaspora, we often utilize spiritism, if you're familiar with like going to Misas and the concepts of spirit guides, those are can be similar to Egbe. There are, from a spiritism perspective, there are some spirits that are just with us for certain seasons of our lives. So that really wouldn't be the same thing as the Yoruba concept of Egbe, because there is this sense of permanency when it comes to Egbe, like this is your group. But certainly there are some spirits that are a part of our spiritual frame that many mediums and spiritualists are able to see and communicate with. And sometimes they reveal that they have been with us, since we were born, or they've been with us over multiple lifetimes. And so that likely could be a member of your Egbe that they are communicating with. One of my kind of like up close and personal experiences with Egbe is when I was in Nigeria. This was back in 2012, and there was a young girl that was on the compound, and we were actually pretty close. She would like come and visit me every morning, and we would kind of hang out. She was about 4 years old. And so one time, it was one afternoon, her mother was like frantic, and she's like, I can't find her, I can't find her, I can't find her. And everybody's looking around. They were looking for me because they know she's often with me. I'm like, I haven't seen her. I don't know where she is. And so my husband, he was, calm, cool, and collected. And I'm like, where is she? He was like, oh, she's likely with Egbe. And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, from time to time, she'll kind of go off on her own. Nobody can find her. And then a few hours later, she'll come back and she'll have all of these messages for people. And sure enough, maybe about an hour and a half later, she just came, strolling through the compound, and she was going from person to person to give messages. And so that was like my kind of first direct experience with Egbe. I was like, wow. But it very much reminded me of like, mediumship and the ability to like bring forth very concrete, detailed messages to people about things that are going on in their lives. So I do think that spiritism in some ways kind of took the place of Egbe, for the diasporic African traditions. But in West African tradition, in Ishe, people can initiate to Egbe, people can receive shrines for Egbe. If you want to give offerings to Egbe. They like sweet things, so fruit, candies, cookies, cakes. One thing I did notice when I was in West Africa is I didn't really see people giving like candies and treats to Eshu Alegba the way that we do in the diaspora. And when I asked about that, one of the responses I got was that it's likely due to Egbe. So the practice that we have in Lukumi tradition, for instance, of giving candies and treats to Alegba is likely left over from the tradition of feeding Egbe because we often feed Egbe through Eshu. So that's another kind of like correlation that I see as far as, how Egbe has manifested in the diaspora. But for those who practice Ishe, like I said, there is initiation to Egbe, there's receiving out of Egbe shrine. Egbe offerings are often given through Eshu, sometimes at the river, sometimes at the foot of a tree. So it all really just depends. I'm going to use my favorite word again, divination. But divination really will tell where you need to leave your offerings for Egbe. And Egbe, they are a great spiritual force and energy to work with. Because again, if we are off our path, they sometimes put some obstacles in our way. And when we give offerings to them, they often give us the guidance that we need in order to remove those obstacles. They really just want us to just keep true to the things that we agreed to do. And so when we can open up that communication, then it's helpful for us in being able to progress. One way that Egbe definitely speaks is through dreams. And so if you are a person who dreams and you get messages and messages in dreams, make sure that you follow up on those because that is one way that Egbe communicates. So I hope that that was helpful. I hope that wasn't too long-winded. I like to be detailed though, because I know that Egbe is not something that a lot of people are familiar with. So I feel like I do have time for the fourth question, and this is a question that I do get often. And this is, how do I get started in Orisha tradition? And so the one thing I will say, just to begin to answer that question, is that there are so many resources now. Compared to like when I first came into tradition in 2009, there are so many books, there are so many people online, and that's a really, really good thing. Of course, you can't stop there. If you really want to practice this tradition, you are going to have to find a person to work with. You're going to have to find a priest, a priestess. You're going to have to connect with an ile because this is a communal tradition. This is a hands-on tradition, and it's just not going to work by just being online. That being said, though, there are some great books out there. There are some great folks online. Because I do get this question a lot, I'm going to start sharing some resources on my website, and also on social media, just so folks know like who to connect with. Because there's a lot of folks out there, right? So we want to make sure that we're connecting to folks that are really going to help us and are really going to guide us and not have us, you know, in some craziness, because unfortunately that does happen, which is why we say like be careful of online, but at the same time, there are some good folks online. So let me tell you about them. So one of my favorite people is Iya Funlayo. She is a priestess of Obatala. She's also initiated to Ifa. I believe she's also initiated to Oshun. But she has this great website, asheire.com, ASEIRE.com. And she does these Orisha meditations and spiritual services every Sunday. I want to say they're Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern. But Funlayo is a really, really great resource. This is someone that I know in person. I met Funlayo back in like 08. So I can definitely vouch for her and vouch for her knowledge and, you know, vouch for her being of good character. So that's a person I would recommend. Also Chantrell Lewis, she just launched this platform, Buku Hoodoo, not too long ago, and she has this ATR book club on Clubhouse, which is excellent. They actually just started reading one of my favorite books, and this is a book I would recommend, Finding Soul on the Path to Orisha. That is one of my favorite books, hands down, for beginners. I actually was in a class with the author sometime last year, so that was really cool to have that connection, because that was literally, I think that was the first book that I read specifically about the tradition. I had read some books about Yoruba culture, but specifically about the tradition and specifically about diaspora practices, I'm pretty sure that's the first book that I read. And that's the one that I always, always recommend to folks. So I'll make sure to put that on the resource list as well. Another person that I would recommend is my godfather, Baba Richard Onkwe. I just made a Facebook post about him recently. Well, not really necessarily about him. It was more so just about how a lot of people are calling themselves spiritualists and mediums, and they really just don't have the training. But my godfather, Baba Richard, he is an excellent spiritualist. I mean, very, 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 very detailed. I would love for him, I should probably tell him this. I would love for him to like meet up with like a Egbe person so they could kind of exchange experiences, because I feel like a lot of what he does is very like Egbe-ish. But yeah, like really, really good spiritual readings, very clear. He's a priest of Obatala in the Lukumi tradition, lives in North Jersey. He is on Facebook, and he's on Instagram too. I don't think he's on Twitter. But definitely on Facebook and Instagram, and I'll also put a his information on this like resource page. Another person that I think is really great is Baba Fasheye Shango Bukumi. So I met him, I like to call him Baba Jamel, but I met him, oh, oof, I guess it was like 2000, it had to be 2012, because I think it was shortly after I initiated to Egungun. And yeah, he was living in New York, now he's living in PR, but he's a really great person to follow on Facebook. He often has like Facebook lives that he does that are super informative. He also has a website, orilagba.org. I'll make sure that I include that link on the resource page as well. But yeah, just really, really good guy, really, really kind heart. Just very personable and down to earth. So he's someone I would recommend. And then Baba Solomon is a Nigerian priest who I've been taking some classes with. He also has a website. I'll make sure that I include that on my resource page. He also is on Facebook, so I'll make sure that I put his full name in so you guys can find him. But he's also really, really good. A lot of his classes are not necessarily for beginners. They're more for people who have been in it for a while. But I would say, like, even if you are like a newbie, I would still like bookmark his page because I feel like he's going to be adding some new content that'll be more so for beginners. But he is West African. He is Yoruba. He is coming from an Ishe perspective, so that's important to know. Baba Fasheye is also Ishe. Ifunlayo is also Ishe. Chantrell is Lukumi. Baba Richard is Lukumi. Just so you kind of know where folks are coming from. And then as far as for me, people are constantly like, when are you going to do some classes and when are you going to do more things online? But the truth of the matter is I'm really interested in building community locally. So I do live in Philly. So if you want to connect with me, like, feel free to. I just really like the idea of having folks to go to the river with, go to the woods with, doing herbal walks with. So I'm more so into like physical local community, but I also understand that the online is important too. So that's why I'm pointing y'all to folks that are online that you can connect with. And because I did mention local community, I definitely want to lift up my husband, who is a Babalawo, Baba Adisa. He is on Facebook. He also is on Instagram. He is not teaching any online classes, but that's going to be coming soon. I'm going to call that into existence. I'm going to speak that into existence. Ashe. But yes, he is another very great resource. Excellent Babalawo, very knowledgeable. And I'm not being biased. This is an objective opinion, and this is based on what everybody who knows him says too. So I just wanted to lift him up as a resource. Again, if you are in Philly, feel free to contact me because we are all about building community. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you again for your patience. I know that this second episode was months, months, months after the first one, but I hope that you found this helpful. Again, if you have any other questions you want to ask me or just any feedback, you can feel free to contact me online, on social media, or you can email me at oshunshango@gmail.com. Peace and many blessings to you all.